I think that it's important for us to get into the mindset of really looking at as we get into Sunday school today. It's going to be a little bit different than what we normally do in Sunday school. We normally comment on the passages that are being mentioned in the scripture, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 7, verses 14 to 29. But I want to also go over something that's going to be very, very important for you to look at and consider. How much time has it taken for you to learn and grow in the knowledge of Jesus? And I'm sure that that's something that you might be able to consider or think about, but the Lord's very patient, waiting for us to get more and more in our system about who Jesus is and what it's like to serve him. But we're going to see an example of that in looking at the passage today and give some reminders about what Moses went through. I think it's important for us to look at those things and see that, and always make comparatives as far as what experience we see for someone who's in Scripture, like we read about in Scripture, like Moses, and how those people that we read about correlate with the experiences that we have. And, you know, flat out, you know, I think I've made the joke with my lovely bride every now and then, sometimes life begins at 60 years old. Because sometimes things don't really gel or mesh together until you get to a certain point. And that's really not meant to be a joke. It's kind of serious. If you consider in a lifetime, an individual who works, like a man who works, they don't usually hit their financial stride until they hit 45, up to 55 years old. And so we're talking about a level of maturity that takes place even over a lifetime. And so now we're going to be talking about Moses a little bit today, and I want you to try to get that. Anna, good morning. God bless you. Thanks for joining us online today. We appreciate you joining us. Great to see you online. Amen. We appreciate you being here. And we're going to go ahead and get into the word today and go before the Lord with prayer, remembering Brother Larry and about the loss of his brother, but also remembering Larry, too, from the standpoint that we want to pray for him and his health as well. I think it's important for us to do that as well. So let's go ahead and look to the Lord with a word of prayer to get started, and we appreciate you joining us today. Thank you. Lord, thank you for this time that you've given to us to now just sit quietly and hear you speak to us through the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for how you indeed teach us, how you mold us, how you shape us, how you encourage us. We thank you, Lord, for your very presence this morning. You do indeed encourage us with your presence. We know how much you love us. We know how much you care for us. And Lord, we thank you for how you are indeed patient with us as we learn more about you. And we'll go through scuffles every now and then where we're just not behaving the way we should be. And yet, Lord, you're very patient and you're ready to forgive us as soon as we repent and turn back to you. We do lift up to you Brother Larry right now. We pray, Lord, that you will just hold him in your very hands. Have him experience your peace right now. I thank you, Lord, for how you have indeed molded and shaped Larry and brought him to where he is today, where the love of the Lord that he has for you, others can see it as well. And I thank you for that testimony that he makes in spite of how he feels. I pray for healing for his body. I pray that you indeed touch him and give him comfort right now. I thank you for everyone here in this room as well, too. We thank you for the church, the body of Christ, the people here who truly have a desire to hear you speak. Not my words, but your words. We also pray for everyone online with us right now, Lord, that you'll touch them in a way that they recognize and see how you indeed love and care for us. Bless us, Lord, and we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, everyone, turn your Bibles and electronic devices to Acts chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 14 through 29, Acts chapter 7, verses 14 through 29. And the passage today is very interesting because it is a continuation of Stephen's speech. We're calling it Stephen's Speech Part 2. And when I asked the question earlier about how much time is it taking you to learn and grow about Jesus Christ? And I'll just add to that, for Stephen's sake, for those pivotal moments when you're in ministry. And I will maintain that Stephen, he's giving literally what I would say is the speech of his life, because he literally is going to go to death right after this. And yet he has always been a man, he was always a man who was deemed as faithful, a man that was filled with the Spirit, and I would contend that he knew what he was going to get after this. I think he knew where he was headed, because the Spirit compelled him to say these things that he's saying. He is going through the Cliff's Notes version of history, going back to Abraham, and that's exactly what's taking place here. So we're going to read the passage, and then we're going to go over this a little bit by bit, and we'll be spending a lot of time in the conversation about Moses as well, too, because that's where he winds up in this particular section of Scripture. Let's just read through Acts chapter 7, verses 14 through 29. We are in the New Living Translation. That's where we're reading from. Please follow along in your version. Then Joseph sent for his father Jacob and all his relatives to come to Egypt, 75 persons in all. So Jacob went to Egypt. He died there, as did our ancestors. Their bodies were taken to Shechem and buried in the tomb Abraham had bought for a certain price from Hamor's sons in Shechem. As the time drew near when God would fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. But then a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. This king exploited our people and oppressed them, forcing parents to abandon their newborn babies so they would die. At that time, Moses was born, a beautiful child in God's eyes. His parents cared for him at home for 3 months. When they had to abandon him, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own son. Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. One day when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. He saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite, so Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. The next day he visited them again and saw two men of Israel fighting. He tried to be a peacemaker. "Men," he said, "why are you are brothers. Why are you fighting each other?" But the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside. "Who made you a ruler and judge over us?" he asked. "Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard that, he fled the country and lived as a foreigner in the land of Midian. There his two sons were born. Okay, that's the passage we're reading today. Acts 7, verses 14 through 29, and we know that the speech is going to continue. So you'll just have to tune in next week to see what the aftermath is of that. I'm just kidding, because you already probably know. But at the end of the day, we're going to talk about some things here that are very important here. First and foremost, let's go back to the top of the passage. And we see the ending here. We're concluding from last week, where Joseph was on the scene. He was the one who was responsible for essentially being able to feed the people of Israel, the Israelites, because there was no food. There were 3 years of famine. And Joseph sent for his father Jacob and all his relatives to come to Egypt, 75 persons in all. So Jacob went to Egypt. And so you know that Jacob was in Egypt when he finally went there to see Joseph. He died there, as did our ancestors, but then their bodies were taken to Shechem and buried in the tomb Abraham had bought for a certain price from Hamor's sons in Shechem. As the time drew near when God would fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. You may recall, if you read in the section when Moses was born, the Israelites were having kids and babies left and right. They were fertile. You talk about some fertile women, and they were popping out children like crazy, to the point where it must have alarmed the Egyptians, especially the ones who were in authority, because they were getting to the point where there were so many of them, they were probably fearful that they would be overrun eventually because there were so many of them. And so, but you have to understand that what God was doing, in spite of the affliction of the people of Israel, he was allowing the Israelites to continue to grow in number. And that's something to always keep in mind and point out about how God sees the things that we don't always recognize right away. where we don't always see the blessing, but yet he's blessing us anyway. He's doing things for us in spite of ourselves, frankly, sometimes. And I hope that that gives you pause to always remember that God is truly in your business. As a young lady here has always said, God's in your business, and he knows about things that you're not aware of, but he calls those things to your attention and shows you things after the fact. It's like, God, you are so good. You are worthy of our praise because of what he's done. And so let's look at, as we get further down the passage, let's go back to verse 18. Then a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. This king exploited our people and oppressed them, forcing parents to abandon their newborn babies so they would die. That was the supposed remedy to deal with the fact that the men would have to be abandoned. The women could be kept around, but the baby boys would have to be abandoned based upon whatever the Egyptian king came to want to have them do. They basically decreed that and tried to force that issue. So verse 20, at that time Moses was born, a beautiful child in God's eyes. His parents cared for him at home for 3 months. Now these are all the words that Stephen is using in his speech. He's laying out before the people who were before him, who are asking him the question, are these things that are being said about you true? And he decides not to address that. He goes right into his speech and talks about the individuals who are basically the patriarchs that are leading up to this period of time before Jesus Christ. And I like what it says in verse 20. At that time, Moses was born, a beautiful child in God's eyes. His parents cared for him at home for 3 months. Now, to add to what I was saying before about how God is fulfilling his promise on the people of Israel, God is always fulfilling his promises. We serve an eternal God that has eternal purposes for us. And so when we talk about, we were joking earlier about, boy, time is flying, sure flying right now. And as you get older, time seems to go faster and all that. God is not affected by time. And I want you to understand that the time is for our purposes, it's not for God's purposes. He doesn't need time. He's awake always. He doesn't sleep. Doesn't have a need for sleep. We do. Amen? We need to rest. We need to take a break every now and then. There are things that God doesn't have any need for that. And I'm saying all of this to basically make you, want you to think very much about how long or how much time do you think that you have in the Lord to continue to learn and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You have a certain amount of days, a certain amount of time to do these things. And prayerfully, for anybody who's over, honestly, anybody who's over 21 years old, you're getting that stuff together about what you have to do to be in service for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's, of course, with the assumption that you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And I'm just going to hearken back on verse 17 again. As the time drew near when God would fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. What promise was that made to Abraham? You would have as many people following you as there are stars in the sky, as there's sand, grains of sand. We're talking about the fulfillment of a promise that was made to Abraham many, many years before this. Because God fulfills his promises. God fulfills the promises that he keeps. But relative to time, that's a long time for us. That's a long time. If we're talking about the time when he made the promise to Abraham, when he was starting to fulfill it, that's a long time. And I made the comment earlier about how life begins at 60. Well, it did for me, I guess. I can't speak for everybody about that. But it just seems to be that a lot of things started to gel around that time. For me. And in other words, so the question you probably ask, what in the world were you doing for the previous 60 years in your life? Well, I was doing stuff. I had a relationship with the Lord at 26, but it comes to a point where you don't necessarily know where you're at until you know, because the Spirit has to reveal it to you. And I think that's the way we need to make sure we're thinking about here too. When we're looking at these events, when we're looking at what God is doing through the Israelites, doing through the Jewish people, we're looking at what? We're seeing something that's really important for us to see. God's faithfulness, God's sovereignty. He doesn't have time restrictions. He's going to be who he is. He's going to be faithful. He's always going to be sovereign. We can say that very freely about what God is doing in our lives. Amen? He's faithful, but he's also sovereign. And at the end of the day, in spite of what the Israelites were doing, in spite of their failures, in spite of the fact that these so-called patriarchs were referring to, the men who formed the 12 tribes of Israel, don't forget Joseph, they threw Joseph in a pit and left him for dead. They had some growing up to do too. They had to learn some things too. But in spite of what the Israelites were doing, when they were being stiff-necked, when they were being disobedient, when they were not following him, God had selected some people to carry on his message, Abraham being one of them, Moses being another one. But what was he trying to do? Work out his plan for the Israelites. Is there any question about God being in control? Well, let's just ask you the question. Is God in control? Has God been in control? Has God ever not been in control? You know, what happens when you're driving a vehicle on the street? You know, you have to keep your hands on the steering wheel. I wouldn't trust any car that they design right now talking about, well, you can drive without, you know, putting your hands on the steering wheel. I don't really think I would trust that. And you know why I wouldn't trust that? Because there have been malfunctions behind that. But God has never taken his hand off the steering wheel. He has always been in control. And nothing surprises him. Nothing gets past him. There's nothing that goes on in our lives where we might be surprised. And then as we go through time, sometimes we have to come back and say, you know what? It's not really a surprise. We live in a fallen world. Stuff happens. I'll just say this. Please take this the way that it's intended. Believers in Jesus Christ, as you mature, nothing should really blow you away or surprise you when you look at today's world and look at the events of today. It really shouldn't. Because a lot of what you see in today's world is in Scripture already. You just need to go back and look at it and see. Calamitous events, things that have occurred, all of those, these are things that have all happened and are recorded in Scripture. And when you read in Ecclesiastes about, you know, Solomon saying there's nothing new under the sun, he means that. There's nothing new. So we really shouldn't be, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Oh, none of that really should be coming out of your mouth. Sorry, I mean, I'm not trying to be funny about it. I'm trying to be serious. It's something that we need to recognize is that you're living in a world where we're living in Satan's domain. You're living on his turf. And when you're living on his turf, he's going to do stuff to you. He was pulling stuff the entire time here with this working through this Egyptian king about trying to do what? Eliminate people who are going to be his opposition. It shouldn't be surprising. I mean, King Herod, when Jesus was first born, went on a campaign to destroy all the people born up to 2 years old, all the males. So when we look at events that happen in our world today, we need to recognize that we really should not be terribly surprised. We might be initially say, oh, that's what's happening. And that should make you want to pray more and more and more about where you are in the Lord and going back to the question about the time that you have to learn and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because that learning is going to be turning into evangelizing, discipling, speaking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, because people need the Lord. A bunch of folks need the Lord. And we know that there's only so much time because this world's going to pass away eventually. This world is going to pass away. We're kind of headed in that direction, aren't we? This beautiful blue and green ball that spins through outer space, there is a day and a time when it's going to be a lot different than what it is right now. And in many ways, we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's exactly what we should want. But the Lord knows exactly when to return, at the appointed time, at the selected time, at the designated time. There are people who still need to know about Jesus Christ. So for our sake, in this time when we're living in the age of grace, we need to be prepared to continue to speak about the goodness of God to whoever will listen. And not everyone's going to listen, but to whoever will listen. We need to make sure that we are recognizing this world's going to pass away, but we serve an eternal God with an eternal purpose. Important for us to see. And we recognize, too, that we serve a God of justice. How is it that people are living today who are so depraved, so misguided, so intent? You know, everything is sexual today. You ever notice that? Sexuality, sexual crimes, pedophilia, you know, the whole thing about child endangering, all these things that are taking place. You know, we're talking about people who are coming across our borders and basically performing human trafficking. These are all things that are taking place today, and a lot of things are tied to sex. You know, OnlyFans, what a phenomenon that is. Not a phenomenon to get involved in, but a lot of people are online, a lot of women are online trying to earn money just for exposing themselves. And there's a punishment that's coming for those people who live that way. If you're wondering where I was going to go with that, there's a punishment coming. And these people need repentance. These people need to repent. These people need to be spoken to about the goodness of Jesus Christ. No matter what your past is, God will forgive your past. You have to be willing to forgive yourself, but God will forgive your past. And He wants you to live in such a manner where you are glorifying Him. But there's a punishment coming for those who choose to live and follow Satan. You know, we talk about the powers and principalities of this world. Sometimes those are human beings. Sometimes those are human beings that choose to follow Satan. And there is going to be a punishment for those who ignore who God is, who want to live for themselves and not live for the Lord. He is going to punish those who are wicked. He is going to reward those who stay faithful. We have to stay faithful. We have to stay in the Word. We have to constantly stay in the Word and in prayer. I heard Charles Stanley this morning saying a very important truth to remember. We should be praying all day long as we make decisions about things. We need to be in the Word all the time. It's really interesting how Charles Stanley has left us. It's wonderful, but his messages still carry truth. You can watch him. It's like he's right there in the room with you. And I appreciate that. I really do. But his message is just pray all day long. You know he's with the Lord. There is no way in the world Charles Stanley is not with the Lord right now, with the way he has been preaching and talking about the truth. And he's talking about how there's going to be an eternity that we all have to get to at some point. And God wants to use you guys. God wants to use y'all online. Amen? He wants to use you. He loves you so much, He gave you the ability to speak about Jesus Christ the love of Jesus Christ to other people. He gave you that responsibility to do those things. He wants to use you. He wants to use you in the same way that he used Joseph, the same way that he used Moses, and the same way that he used Stephen. Stephen is being used by God here. God is taking Stephen and having him declare the truth to these people who are opposed to him. They need to hear this message. And why does God want to use us? Well, even though there are not many of us, I tend to believe there's a lot more unbelievers out there than there are believers today. I think we're in the minority, literally in the minority. Depends on where you go, you know. But at the end of the day, the minority, we can make a difference in this world. The message of Christ helps to make a difference in this world. And it's about dying to self and living for Christ. You know, even Paul had to recognize that he had to die to self and live for Christ, even as he was communicating his message. And Paul had seen a lot of wonderful things. And Paul went through a lot. But he had to still recognize the importance of recognizing when God spoke to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, Paul." And that's true for all of us. His grace is sufficient for us. Yeah, we got aches and pains in our bodies. I don't have a thorn in my side the way Paul did. But I still have aches and pains in my body every now and then. You know, some people hurt all the time. They don't complain about it. They just go after it. They just do what they got to do. And that's important for us to see too. So we got to the point in verse 20 where we talk about Moses. At the time Moses was born, he was a beautiful child in God's eyes. His parents cared for him at home for 3 months. When he says he's a beautiful child, he's talking about Moses as a selected person, a person who's already been chosen by God. A beautiful child at birth? That's one kind of a recommendation, a thing to look at here. And we look at when they had to abandon him. Go to verse 21. When they had to abandon him, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own son. That means he's being raised in the castle, being raised by Pharaoh's daughter. And Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. Now, this was a big deal. I want you to understand that. Powerful in both speech and action. Remember, we talk about a different Moses later. But here he was raised. He could speak. He could talk. He was, when it comes to history, and we're looking at the historical nature of what Moses had done, being brought up in the wisdom of the Egyptians is a pretty significant thing. What is Egypt known for? They were advanced in their technology, in their way of doing things, in the mathematics. They developed math. They developed chemistry. They developed engineering. They developed architecture. They were astronomers too. They were very advanced in their culture. I mean, remember the pyramids. My goodness. Look at when they did discoveries in the tombs, they had vivid colors all over the walls that they were using to represent different symbolism. And of course, they knew about embalming. I saw a story the other day about when Steve Martin was talking about King Tut. But you understand embalming because he was preserved a certain way. They knew the distance. They could calculate the distance between the earth and the sun. They were very advanced. And Moses was being exposed to all of this stuff. He was very knowledgeable, very developed. They were not dumb folks. They were pretty smart. So if you're raised as Pharaoh's daughter, Moses learned a great deal. He was able to do a lot of different things. And he was outstanding. Just based upon the account you read in verse 22. And it's important for us to see that even though he was wise, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to lead you toward the Lord. We see this all the time today, don't we? There are people in education. There are people who are highly decorated with degrees. who don't think they need Jesus. They don't think they need Jesus. So even though Moses was learning about what it was to be smart as an Egyptian, he didn't have the knowledge of God at that time. We can say that because it's just based upon his life. And I know that God had spoken to him, and we'll get to that in a minute, but there was a lot for him to learn. And I'm watching my time here because it's getting away from me. So even though Moses was learning, he was not ready to lead or deliver God's people. So let's go further in the passage and we'll talk about that. Verse 23, one day when Moses was 40 years old, so now we know how old he is, 40 years of life, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel, because Moses knew where he came from. He was raised as an Egyptian, but he knew he was an Israelite. Verse 24, he saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite. So Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. Moses assumed. See, even when we're still learning about the Lord Jesus Christ, there are a lot of assumptions that we make too. And what we learn as we make those assumptions is we ain't ready, or we ain't as far ahead as we think we are. And sometimes we have to learn some very hard lessons about that. You're not who you think you are. I can't veer off. It makes me, whenever I say something like that, it triggers me, and I think about a football metaphor, and I'm not going to do it because it's going to take me further away from where I'm going to go. For those of you here in class, ask me later. So anyway, let's continue. Moses assumed his Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. They didn't realize that. And he thought he'd kill that Israelite in secret and buried him in the sand, by the way. That's the account back in Genesis. The next day, he visited them again and saw two men of Israel fighting. He tried to be a peacemaker. Men, he said, you are brothers. Why are you fighting each other? Verse 27, but the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside. Who made you a ruler and judge over us? He asked. Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday? Moses is like, uh-oh. That's not going to work. That was supposed to have been done in secret. When Moses heard that, he fled the country and lived as a foreigner in the land of Midian. There his two sons were born. He lived in Midian. How long did he live in Midian? 40 years. 40 years. He thought he was ready to lead the people of Israel. He wasn't ready. He learned that very quickly. Because there was a lot of work that had to be done with Moses. And what I'm saying, I said all the stuff that I said earlier to remind you and tell you, for some of us, life begins at 60, because I became a believer at 26. And it took me almost 40 years to get my act together. Closer to 35. I still had to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. I still had to learn about what it was to walk in faith for Jesus Christ. I still had to go through ups and downs in life. And Moses, even though he was in the wilderness, he was there. The reason why Moses had trouble with his speech later, he was in isolation. You weren't able to really talk to a whole lot of folks very often if you're 40 years in the wilderness. And so when he was talking to the Lord later, when he had the burning bush incident, 40 years later, he was 80 years old, he was out of practice when it came to speaking. He probably did stutter. He probably was just not very skilled. So he had lost that ability to speak with confidence and authority. He had to gain that all back. But 40 years was the amount of time that it took him to be trained by the Lord. And remember, he had that incident where his wife Zipporah, you know, he had not gotten circumcised. See, there are little things that are happening in his life. If you go too quickly, you'll forget about those things. But God almost took Moses out, because he wasn't being obedient to his word. And that was a training that was taking place for him too. Tough experience. We all go through this training. We all go through these things to recognize the goodness of God when we come out on the other side. So Moses was born, wound up running away, and wound up in exile. We're going to say exile in Midian for 40 years. Because of the encounter he had with that Israelite who said, you know, who made you ruler over us? Who appointed you? And the truth was, nobody appointed Moses. He thought, surely I'm doing this good thing because I'm helping my people, you know, Israel. Well, you know what? That can also apply to us too. God has to humble us a few times, amen? To help us to know where we really are in our relationship with him. He has to help us. We have to go through some stuff. And nobody really wants to hear about that because everybody in this room knows exactly what I'm talking about. You got to go through stuff. Whether you want to or not. It's not an issue about whether you want to or not. It's what you have to do. If you're really going to learn more about who Jesus is, you're going to go through stuff. And Moses went through stuff. And after 40 years, the Lord said, okay, it's time now. But dang, Moses was 80. He went from 40 to 80. That's a long time. And it was not until 40 years later before he went back to Egypt. At the appointed time, God designated that. The appointed time. The appointed time, not for God's sake, but for the person's sake. But he knew that Moses at that point would be ready to now truly be the one, 40 years later, you know, darn near a generation, you know, half a generation later, to go back and rescue his people from Egypt. At the appointed time, God has dealt with each and every one of us. And has helped us to recognize that we're not always prepared to do what we're doing, but God will let you know when you are. The Spirit will speak and give you something to help you to determine that. And we recognize that we would be reading down further. It's going to be next week when we'll see it, about 40 years passing, and the angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. That's in Acts chapter 7, verse 30. So that's literally the next week. It's a premise, it's a premise where we're going to look at that next week. But look how much time it took for Moses to get to that point. 40 years. And I'm also reminded, too, that Moses wound up wandering in the wilderness for 40 more years after the Egyptians were delivered. Moses had a very special relationship with the Lord. I don't think there's any other way to look at that. God gave him long life. And we remember that at the end of the day, when Moses died, he could have gone longer, but the Lord took him. And he had to die on top of Mount Ararat. I mean, he was full of life. But when we talk about a sovereign God and a God who is a God of justice, you got to do what he tells you to do. He couldn't see the promised land because he was disobedient. He would lose his temper. He was pretty fiery. You know, he struck the rock with his stick instead of speaking to it. And that's when the Lord said, that's it. That's it. You cannot go to the promised land. But he did an amazing work. Doesn't diminish the work that he did. He did an amazing work. So I want you to see how the Lord indeed is gracious and patient with us. He's teaching us all the time. Is there more that we can learn about Jesus? Is there more where we can grow in his relationship with him? There certainly is. But now there comes a point, too, where you hit that 60-year threshold or whatever it is, for whatever it was for your life, that you're now being able to talk to people about Jesus. You're able to disciple people about Jesus. You're able to speak about the goodness of God. Why? Because of your life experience, for goodness sake. Your life experience. You have a story to share with people about the goodness of God. And maybe it took you 40 years to develop that story or whatever it was, but you can share that story with others about the goodness of God. I hope that you can get what I've been talking about this morning. For those of us say, oh, he's old. I'm old, whatever. Yeah, so what? We're old. So what? As long as you're living and breathing, you can still share about the goodness of Jesus Christ to somebody who's willing to hear you. It's okay to be old. It's okay to be a walking testimony. And, you know, for those of us in this room, age means maturity. We're more mature in Christ. We're not like the folks out there who are 40 years old and still acting like kids. We're mature in Christ. Let us always remember that as long as we have breath, let's praise the Lord. Amen. Father, thank you for this time that you've given us to sit and just go over the lessons we can even learn reading about Moses and how he thought he was ready, but he was far from ready. And how you've taught us and reminded us that we weren't ready either in a lot of ways. But we thank you, Lord, that you've been patient with us and been teaching us all along. We pray, Lord, now that you'll just bless this group, those of us here and also online, for having the desire to sit before you and hear you speak through the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless this time, Lord. Bless this church. Bless this people. Give us what we need, Lord, to remember that while we truly want to praise you and give you thanks for what you're doing, may we always remain humble before you as we go, because we know there's always more that we can learn about you. Bless us and keep us, Lord, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We appreciate you being here for today's live stream Sunday School for Akron Lions Fellowship Church in Akron, Ohio. God bless you and take care of yourselves. We will see you around the corner and see you next time. Take care.